Well, hey, everybody, and welcome to another edition of The Journey of Hope. Glad you could be with us today. The Journey of Hope is a podcast that's especially designed to address the issues that men and women face after incarceration. My guest today is Chris Sprague. He's an author and a speaker, and he specializes in helping you discover how you're wired. And the reason this is important is because when you can discover how you're wired, you can change some things for the better. Chris Sprague, my guest today, right after this on The Journey of Hope. Send me some email. Let me know how you're doing. MathersRodney@yahoo.com. MathersRodney@yahoo.com. Everybody, and welcome back. My guest today is Chris Sprague. He's an author and a speaker, and he specializes in helping people discover how they're wired, and that's what we're going to be talking with Chris about today. Chris, how are you?
Wonderful, Rodney. How are you doing today?
I'm doing swell. Hey, how did you get into all of this, first of all? Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, I mean, the story of how I got into it probably is, I'll say in the end, way too long for this, but the really, really short version is I went through a lot of pain in my life, and not as much as some, more than others, but through that pain, what I discovered is the main reason for that pain was not understanding how I was wired. Mm-hmm. So I took my entire lifetime's worth of research, every job I'd been, career I'd been in, relationship I had, you know, over 40 years of knowledge, and started looking at it and going, okay, if I'd have figured this out sooner, what could I have stopped? And now who can I help with the, you know, with what I found? Because, you know, I believe that whether you're an ex-offender or whether you're a CEO, everybody's exactly the same. And everybody has exactly the same issues and challenges if they just open up and realize it.
When you talk about being wired, how we're wired, what does that word wired mean? Tell us about that.
Yeah, the way I talk about it, it depends on your faith. Okay, I'll say that right off the bat. If you're a faith-based person like myself, what being wired means is really what imprint God put on you from day one and what you were meant to do and what you were wired to do, what you're the best at, everything. It's all wrapped up into one. It's what makes you unique. It's the way you talk. It's everything. It's what was put in you before you were born and what you had before the world masked over it with all the crap that happens in this world. Whether it's a bad home life, whether it's just, you know, crappy teachers, whether it's a bad education, whether it's parents who don't love you or love you too much, you know, regardless, everybody in our lives masks over what we're wired to do and what we're wired to do. And only when you start uncovering that, you go back and say, oh, this is what I'm really here for.
One of the things you mentioned that I thought was very interesting, and I like it, by the way, you know, I have a lot of people come on here and say, you can be whatever you want to be. You know, the sky's the limit. But you take a little bit different approach, and I appreciate this approach, because when you learn how you're wired, apparently you also learn what your limitations are, and it gives you a better sense of expectation. Am I right in assuming that?
Yeah, you hit the nail on the head. The biggest problem I have with the personal development and the motivation industry, everyone from the no names up to Tony Robbins will tell you you can be anything you want to be. And that puts so much pressure on it. I mean, think about it this way. If you're depressed and you're sitting at home on the couch, like I said, I don't care whether you're an ex-offender or whether maybe you're coming out of a divorce or, you know, whether it's you're having problems with your weight or anything, something's got you down. If you can't be, if you're not being the success you were born to be at that time, and somebody comes along and pumps you up and says, you can be anything you want to be, the minute the motivation stops, you have this huge weight on your shoulders. You have this huge thing to live up to now. Now, all of a sudden, geez, if I can be anything I want to be, you know, I've got this huge, you know, this huge weight, all this pressure. And we don't need to live in a pressure-filled world and a pressure-filled society. So to take that pressure off, I show people and walk people through processes to show them how they're wired. They understand it, they get it, and then we sit down and go, okay, you're wired to do this. What does that mean, and how do you want to be the best this possible? So I'll give you one quick example, Rodney.
Good.
For my life, I start off my life as a disc jockey and entertainer, and I thought that was kind of going to be my life. And I say that because when I was 5, my first vivid memory was being in a play. I was a wizard. I was waving a magic wand over an oven and throwing some cotton balls out. I have no clue what it was called, but it's my first vivid motion picture memory.
Okay.
And that's one of the keys I tell people to figure out how you're wired. Look back to your first vivid, positive motion picture memory. But in the late 80s, early 90s, you know, when I was doing all that, it wasn't paying well and I needed the money. So I decided to use one of the other gifts that God gave me, which was work in the technical field. I jumped into computers and I spent 15 years in IT. But I was never wired to be sitting behind a desk. I was never wired to be, you know, in the confines of corporate America. So it was always a disconnect. And it was only through 2 layoffs and many other personal hardships that I rediscovered what I was wired to do. And now, I mean, I think you can tell just from talking to me for a few minutes, this is my passion. This is, I love to talk, I love to share knowledge, and I love to transform and empower people's lives. And while you might be able to make the great next Facebook or Microsoft, you might be able to do that. I'd much rather be standing on a stage or be on a radio show like yours and just sharing a great message and hopefully positively affecting, you know, at least one person in the audience's life.
Okay. So let's get into the nitty-gritty here. How do you discover how you're wired? What's the process? Tell us about that.
Sure. Now, in the time we have today, I can give you kind of the way we begin, the way that my clients and I begin. And one of the things I'm going to preface this with is this. Once we get done today, I might resonate with you, I might not. Regardless, find somebody to help you through this process. If it's me, great. If it's not somebody else, that's wonderful. But this process is key to your success. So here's how we start. First, we try and take people into a little bit of a different mental state. Because let's face it, if you ask a carpenter that only has a hammer in his tool bag how he's going to put a screw in a block of wood, he's going to pull the hammer out and say, I'm going to hammer the screw into the block of wood. Will it work? Yeah. Is it the most efficient? No. Is it going to get the best results? No, it's not. So get people into a little bit of a different state. I don't do anything, I don't do hypnosis or that type of stuff. We just keep people to breathe a little bit differently because breathing can change not only your mental state, but your physical state, your physiology. And it's been proven by science now that changes in body position and changes in breathing and other things can actually even affect your mood and all that stuff. So to start unmasking your wiring, we have to get you to think a little bit differently, and that's how we start doing it.
Okay.
Then I take clients through a process where we sit down and have them fill out a quick questionnaire that says, okay, what makes you happy? What makes you sad? What makes you laugh? What makes you cry? And most people look at that and go, wait a minute, you know, happy and laugh is the same thing, and it is, but it isn't. And here's why I say that. the fact of the matter is that you can be happy about something, but it might not make you laugh. Or you can laugh about something that really doesn't make you happy. Like, laughter is an outlet for stress for a lot of people. I know for me it is. I'll laugh at some very inappropriate things, but I'll explain to people, look, I don't find this funny, but I'm laughing because it's an outlet for me. So we take them through that process to get them to understand where they think they are. I take them through a process where they start to understand how unique they are. We sit and work on their core values and figure out what they feel their core values are right now. And then we have them write a paragraph about themselves. Or if we're doing it over the phone, I have them talk for about 30 seconds to a minute about themselves. And then what we do is we put it all together, okay? And you put it all together on one sheet of paper, and you keep that sheet of paper with you on a regular basis, okay, and have an accountability partner that you discuss it with on a regular basis, and track how you're doing against it. So here's what happens. You think that sunshine makes you happy, but you find you never talk about sunshine, and you never talk about going to the beach, or you never talk about, being in a warm climate, or you never talk about things that are related to sunshine. So all of a sudden, you get to figure out that you're not even talking about the things that make you happy. And then you go back and say, okay, how can you even be a happy person if you're not talking about the things that make you happy? So through that, we uncover what they currently think about themselves. Mm-hmm. Then I take them on a process back, or do some visualization and everything else to go back to their earliest memories and their earliest positive memories. And for some people, especially people who've had a lot of trauma and a lot of trouble in their life, it's tough to remember back far, and it's tough to remember positive things back that far. Mm-hmm. So what we do is, if they can't, we work on tools and techniques to get them to help erase the bad memories and replace them with good. Like, I'll give you one quick example. I'll wrap this up because I know you got more questions. Mm-hmm. So a quick example of how anybody could do this is, for those of us old enough, we remember vinyl records.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. So fact of the matter is if you remember vinyl records right, if you did anything to scratch that record, the sound didn't sound the same. And if you really wanted to destroy a record, you went and you took a knife and you scratched it all up, and then you couldn't hear it anymore. Well, I teach people how to visualize a record in their mind, and they see the story or they hear the story that's playing on that record, and then we kind of scratch the record. We take it forward, backward, and then we take something and scratch over it until that memory is no longer as powerful, and in some cases it's to the point where they can even talk about it without getting emotional. Mm-hmm. And in some cases it kind of becomes, I forget why I was upset. I kind of remember, but here's one of the things they say. Let me one more quick comment to kind of wrap this up and back to your questions. Remember this: the people who wrong you, they forget that they wrong you the minute after they've done it. You remember it for the rest of your life, unless you go back and take control and find a method to end up erasing it.
Excellent.
And once you do, then it opens up the next memory.
Excellent. Okay. We're going to come back and talk with Chris just a little bit more. We're going to take a real quick break. We'll be right back after this. I'm Rodney Mathers, and you're on The Journey of Hope. Neat new band out called Resurrecting Rodney. You can check them out by clicking the link over to the right where it says Resurrecting Rodney. You find out more details. Check it out. Thank you. And welcome back. We're talking with Chris Sprague. Chris is talking about how our minds are wired and how we can, through discovering how that works, basically just better ourselves. And Chris, I noticed as you were explaining how the process worked, that you didn't mention anything about something that I was interested in, which was the self-talk that goes on in our life, the thought life that we have. What role does that play, and how does that fit in to the whole wiring of our brain and the way that we act and so forth?
That is an incredible question, Rodney. And I have to say, you're the first person to ask, and I've been waiting for somebody to ask. Because it means, for lack of a better term, and not to overstate it, it means everything. And you know, everything might be too strong of a word, but here's what happens is our wiring gets masked over by the things that people do to us when we're young. And the reason that happens is because we don't know enough to stop that from happening. At least most people don't. Now, there's people like Oprah and other people who've made successes out of their life even when they were challenged as youth, but that's because that's what they were naturally wired to do. See, some people do have the people that you see, you know, that are successes, they figured out their wiring, and there's a very, very rare few people who are out there who figured out who just innately know their wiring. But what happens is that everybody, back to your self-talk, the answer about self-talk, what happens is you get all this crap that builds up, all this, you know, masking over your wiring. Like, if you think about it this way, wiring, you know, like if you have electrical wiring, you've got the insulator around the electrical wiring that you've got to cut back to reconnect the two wires to make a successful connection. Well, that insulation, while it protects an electrical wiring, it's not good if you want the electricity to travel between two pieces of wire. So the whole point is that masking, that insulation is kind of like the masking that happens to our wiring. And the point is, with self-talk, we believe it because we're told it time and time again. And then we start to tell ourselves that, and then it makes it very, very difficult to unmask the wiring. Another way of looking at it is kind of like concrete. Over time, the words we tell ourselves are what cures the concrete. And, you know, when concrete starts to cure, you can brush it away. I mean, you can move it with your hand. You can stick your hand in it. You can move it with a block of wood. As it starts to cure, it's a little more difficult. By the time it's rock hard, you need a jackhammer to get unstuck. And the problem is with self-talk is if you believe it and you tell yourself, you're going to believe it because your brain does not know the difference between reality and what you're making up. I mean, that gets into a whole other conversation, but the whole point, and let me wrap this comment up with this. Folks, listening to my voice, if you're listening to my voice right now, and if you learn nothing else from this brief interview, learn this. Your self-talk, your brain does not understand the difference between your self-talk and what people are telling you about yourself, and your brain doesn't understand the difference between what's real and what you make up. So if you're telling yourself negative things, it's going to breed negativity, and you're not going to be able to uncover your wiring and figure out how you can get to the next level.
And it's also where, you know, a poor decision as in the form of an action would start. I would think is in our thought life, and it would start as a thought, you know. And so I really like the things that you have to say about that. One final question. We're getting close on time here. Things like addictions, drug addictions, alcoholics, other kinds of addictions, can going through this process be used to help address those kinds of problems?
It can. I don't work a lot with I'll say, severely addicted people. I have seen it work where once you start to understand how you're wired and how you got to that place, it will help. Like, let me give you a quick example about, you know, eating and emotional eating.
Okay.
And that's where I guess, let me take a step back. Rather than going through a long-winded example, let me just say this. If your addiction is emotion-related, this helps very, very much and works very well because then it helps to eliminate the emotions that cause it. the challenge you have then is, okay, once you figure out that your addiction is emotion-related, and you figure out how to get rid of those emotions, and you figure out how you're wired, and you figure out you're not meant to do what you're doing, if you've also developed a physical dependency to the drugs or the alcohol, you still need to seek out counseling and some way to get your body out of the physical piece of the addiction. Because I believe every addiction is two parts. I've seen too many people go through it. It's two parts, emotional and physical. So you can get rid of one or the other, but if you don't get rid of both, you're not going to get rid of the addiction.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Chris, this is excellent information. And how do people get in touch with you? How do they find you on the internet? I noticed you have conferences and that sort of thing. Tell us a little bit about how you present your material and how we can get in touch with you.
Sure. So I'll start off with the easiest way to get in touch with me is to go to my website, chrismsprague.com. That's chrismsprague.com. It'll have all my current contact information and everything else out there. The usual presentation of my material, so to speak, is either through these types of interviews or on stage. If you've got a group, an organization, these topics of how you're wired and even leadership and motivation and everything that I do would be good for, reach out to me. I'd love to talk to you. I also work with a limited number of private clients that I do, and I run a number of societies where we focus on specific areas of improvement. Like one is a professional practice builder society, so that is specifically a group of people who are building professional practices, chiropractors, even multi-level marketers, coaches, teachers, public speakers, dentists, doctors, lawyers. It's a whole conglomerate of people who are building professional practices that that we get together. And then I have the Wired to Thrive. Right now, if you look at my website, it'll say Project. The Wired to Thrive Project is morphing into the Wired to Thrive Society, because what everybody's asking me, they said, well, this temporary project is great, but we want a society to be able to connect with other like-minded people who want to thrive. And to be a part of that, the main goal, your main objective, your main goal just has to be that you want to understand how you're wired and thrive in 2014 and beyond. So once again, it's chrismsprague.com. All the information is out there.
Okay, good stuff. Chris Sprague, thank you so much for being on the Journey of Hope today.
Oh, you're welcome, Rodney. It is my pleasure, my honor, and keep up the great works and helping people take their journey of hope. And if there's anything I can do for your audience, you let me know.
Thank you, sir. We're going to take another quick break. We'll be right back after this. I'm Rodney Mathers, and you're on the Journey of Hope. Sure like getting mail from you. MathersRodney@yahoo.com. MathersRodney@yahoo.com. Chris Sprague, and I want to remind you that if God is for you, who can be against you? We'll see you next time right here on the Journey of Hope.